Hare Krishna. Would everyone like to move a little bit forward, except for Nathan? Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So for those of us here who are not attending every week, we're reading from the Nectar of Instruction, which is called Upadeshamrita. It's written by Sri Rupa Goswami, who was one of the disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appeared 500 years ago, and Rupa Goswami was one of his senior most disciples. He compiled the essence of all instruction, of all Vedic knowledge, in this short little book, which consists of only 11 verses. So therefore it's called the Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita. So we've been going through it systematically, and today we begin verse number 8, and if we get time, then verse number 9. Okay. So that's on page 72. Please repeat after me. Tannama rupa charitadi sukirtananu.
Tannama rupa charitadi sukirtananu.
Tannama rupa charitadi sukirtananu.
Tannama rupa charitadi sukirtananu.
Smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyojya.
Smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyojya.
Tishthan braje tadanuragi jananugami.
Tishthan braje tadanuragi jananugami.
Kalam naye dakhilamityupadesha saram.
Kalam naye dakhilamityupadesha saram.
Tannama rupa charitadi sukirtananu.
Tannama rupa charitadi sukirtananu.
Smrityo kramena rasanamanasi niyojya. Tishthan braje tadanuragi jananugami. Kalam naye dakhilamityupadesha saram. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Braja, Golok Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to His devotional service. Report. Since the mind may be one's enemy or one's friend, one has to train the mind to become his friend. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for training the mind to be always engaged in Krishna's business. The mind contains hundreds and thousands of impressions, not only of this life, but also of many, many lives of the past. These impressions sometimes come in contact with one another and produce contradictory pictures. In this way, the mind's function can become dangerous for a conditioned soul. Students of psychology are aware of the mind's various psychological changes. In Bhagavad Gita 8.6, it is said, Yam yam vape smaran bhavam vyajatyante kalevaram tam tame vaiti konteya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. At the time of death, the mind and intelligence of a living entity create the subtle form of a certain type of body for the next life. If the mind suddenly thinks of something not very congenial, one has to take a corresponding birth in the next life. On the other hand, if one thinks of Krishna at the time of death, he can be transferred to the spiritual world, Golok Vrindavan. This process of transmigration is very subtle. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami advises devotees to train their minds in order that they will be able to remember, unable to remember anything other than Krishna. Similarly, the tongue should be trained to speak only of Krishna and to taste only Krishna Prasad. Srila Rupa Goswami further advises, Tishtan Vraje, one should live in Vrindavan or any part of Vrajabhumi. Vrajabhumi, or the land of Vrindavan, is supposed to be 84 kosas in length. One krosha equals 2 square miles. When one makes Vrindavan his residence, he should take shelter of an advanced devotee there. In this way, one should always think of Krishna and his pastimes. This is further elucidated by Sri Rupa Goswami in his Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. Krishnam smaran janam chasya preshtam nijasamihitam tat tat katharatash chaso kuryadvasam vraje sada. A devotee should always reside in the transcendental realm of Vraja and always engage in Krishnam smaran janam chasya preshtam, the remembrance of Sri Krishna and his beloved associates. By following in the footsteps of such associates and by entering under their eternal guidance, one can acquire an intense desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, Srila Rupa Goswami states in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-295, Seva sadhaka rupena siddha rupena chatrahi tadbhava lipsuna karya vrajalokanusarataha. In the transcendental realm of Vraja, Vrajadham, one should serve the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna, with a feeling similar to that of his associates. And one should place himself under the direct guidance of a particular associate of Krishna and should follow in his footsteps. This method is applicable both in the stage of sadhana, spiritual practices executed while in the stage of bondage, and in the stage of sadhya, God realization, when one is a siddha purusha, or a spiritually perfect soul. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has commented as follows upon this verse. One who has not yet developed interest in Krishna consciousness should give up all material motives and train his mind by following the progressive regulative principles, namely chanting and remembering Krishna's and his name, form, quality, pastimes and so forth. In this way, after developing a taste for such things, one should try to live in Vrindavan and pass his time constantly remembering Krishna's name, fame, pastimes and qualities under the direction and protection of an expert devotee. This is the sum and substance of all instruction regarding the cultivation of devotional service. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Kilim Yatkripatamaham Mande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Paramanandamadham. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Vraja, Golok Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. So, like we were saying just a minute ago, this nectar of instruction is the essence of all Vedic literature. It's the amrita. Amrita means essence or nectar, the very sum and substance, the conclusion of all instruction, upadesha. But in the nectar of instruction, this verse in particular is giving the essence of all advice, right? So you have the essence of all advice is here in the nectar of instruction. But the essence of that essence is given in this verse. When it comes to a single statement that summarizes or covers everything, this is it. If someone were to ask you, what is the essence of spiritual life? Or what is, can you state what we're supposed to do in spiritual life in one sentence, then we can give them this verse. He says, Ityupadesha Saram. This is the Saram, the essence of all upadesha, of all instruction. In other words, this is the nectar of instruction. It's the essence of the essence of instruction. So it's, in French they say, creme de la creme. It's the essence, the cream of the cream. It doesn't get better than this. So in some ways this verse functions as a summary of the entire nectar of instruction. He begins, Rupa Goswami begins from the very basic principle that one should engage constantly in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And in the end he gives us the process for perfection, namely following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. So it's all here in this verse, the whole philosophy. And in the purport also we find that Prabhupada covers the whole philosophy. He begins with the basic point, control the mind, right? That was the first verse, Vacho Vega Manasa Krodha Vega. And he ends, we didn't read the whole thing, but he ends talking about how one can follow in the footsteps of great devotees like Nanda Maharaj, Madhi Yashoda, Srimati Radharani, and so forth. So, what is the essence of all advice? What's Upadesha Saram? He begins by saying, Tannama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasana Manasi Niyojya. Tannama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtananu Smrityo. This is, he's saying two things. Two things are the essence, what we should do in spiritual life to attain perfection. He's summarized it to basically two things here. What are the two things from the translation we just read? Actually, there's a third thing also, but in the first line, two things he's saying. Yeah, in doing what? Yeah, kirtana and smriti, right? Chanting and remembering Krishna, two things. What? Yes, second line. Tannama rupa charitati sukirtananuk smrityo. So one should spend his time sukirtananu, doing sankirtan and smriti, remembering what? Tannama rupa charitadi, nama, rupa, and charita. His name, form, and charita means his activities or qualities, adi, etc. Beginning with his name, form, and activities. This is actually a very scientific progression. The order of these is not random. In other words, our hearing or chanting has to begin with first thing is nama, the holy name. Only after we chant the holy name can we understand Krishna's form. Just like when we first get to know someone, right, then we get to know them by name first. That's the first kind of introduction. Hi, who are you? What's your name? My name's Nathan. Okay, nice to meet you. Only then, we might hear about that person beforehand. Oh, Nathan's coming to Boise. Right? Then we might appreciate his form, right? Okay, now this is what Nathan looks like. So first nama, then rupa. First you get to hear someone's name, you hear about him, and then if you're lucky, then you get to see him, right? Rupa. And then once Nathan shows up, then we find out all about his charita, or his activities. Oh, Nathan's like this, he likes gulab jamuns, he likes rasagullas. Right? We hear about his qualities. Nama, rupa, charita. They go in order like this. First we hear Krishna's name, and then we see Krishna's form. We appreciate his form, if not see it, we appreciate it. Oh, he's so beautiful, he looks like this, he's so wonderful. And then we can read about his activities. Oh, Krishna has a form, what does he do in his form? Well, he plays with his coward friends, he plays with the gopis, and so forth. So, nama, rupa, charita, they come in order, etc. And then, once you get activities, then from that you get paraphernalia, his associates, his devotees, they all come in charita, because when someone's performing activities, well, who is he acting with? And he has friends, and family, and Nanda Maharaj, Madhi Yashoda. You hear so many things about Krishna. Nama, rupa, charita. So these things are all there. Krishna's name, form, and activities. And what are we supposed to do? Kirtana and anusmriti. Chanting about him and remembering him. Again, these two things are also coming in order. Kirtana comes first. First we glorify Krishna. And then when we become used to glorifying, chanting His holy name, then we can remember. Then that stays in the mind. Just like, again, if we hear a nice song, like a catchy tune or something, then for a while we sing it. And when we sing it for some time, then afterwards it gets stuck in our head, in our mind. We have this experience, like, if we hear a nice tune of the Hare Krishna mantra or something, or you hear a nice melody in the radio, or someone has some kind of a cinema song, right? You see it, you hear it first, and then after a while, it gets stuck in your head, and you cannot forget it. You're always, it's going over and over and over in your mind. So same thing with Krishna. We first glorify, hear and glorify His activities, and then after a while, it settles in, and we can remember it constantly when we become absorbed. Tannama rupa charitadi sukirtanam smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyojya. But in order to do these two things, chanting and remembering, two things are required. Two tools are required. What are the two tools being described here in this verse? No, the tools we need for chanting and for remembering. The tongue and the mind. Rasana manasi niyojya. We use the rasana. The rasana is the tongue, that which tastes things. Rasa. Right? Manasi and the mind. Rasana manasi niyojya. Engaging the tongue and the mind. Kramena, gradually, step by step. So the whole thing is kind of laid out very scientifically if you see this verse. Everything is in order. Like I said, this is the whole summary of Krishna consciousness. You have everything there, beginning with His name and form, then qualities. What do you do with them? You chant, you remember. How do you do it? You have to use your tongue and your mind. And again, in that order. Rupa Goswami says, right? Sevan mukhe hi jivado. Service begins with the tongue. And what does the tongue do? It does chanting and tasting prasad. So these two things, we can, beginning process of devotional service. We taste Krishna prasad and we chant the holy names. Now, to progress in devotional service, what do we have to do? This is kind of the entrance to bhakti. But to go higher, to progress, what do we do? It's the very same thing. Right? Exactly the same thing. Kirtana and Smarana. That's why Rupa Goswami says, Kramena, he says, step by step. In other words, it's the same thing that we use to progress higher and higher and higher. Nothing changes in the process of bhakti. It's not that we do kirtan in the beginning and later on we don't have to. Bhakti is both the means and the end. So, we're chanting now, we'll chant when we get to the spiritual world. We're remembering Krishna now, we'll remember Krishna when we get to the spiritual world. Nothing ever changes in the process of bhakti. It's the means and the end. It's the best sadhana, and it's also the best sadhya. It's the best goal. The two things. Just like in most other processes, these two things differ. Right? The yogi is meditating, but at some point he wants to stop meditating. He doesn't, you know, you meditate for, 10 years, 100, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 years, 100 years. Some yogis meditate for 1,000 years. But finally, whoever they're meditating on appears and they get their boons, their blessings, and then they're done. So in other words, the process and the goal is different. You're performing a yajna. No one is performing yajna forever. You're performing yajna for a particular goal. Right? Just like Maharaj Dashrath did a yajna to get a son. So he performed the sacrifice. Then the yajna purusha came out and gave the sweet rice. And he's satisfied. The yajna is finished. So in these processes, there's a difference between the means and the end. Right? What you do to get there and what the goal is. Those are different. But bhakti is really the only process where the means and the end are the same. The journey is the goal, practically speaking. In other words, the activity never changes. The only thing that changes is what? The quality of the activity. Right? The quality. And that's what's being described in this verse. that in the beginning stages, we've talked about this last week, right? In the beginning stages, we do it because we have to. This is called Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, because it's a regulation, vidhi. We've been told it's good for us. And later on, we do it spontaneously, because we want to. Not because we have to, but because we want to. So here in this verse, that stage is being described very, very nicely. This is the stage of Raganuga Bhakti Sadhana that's being described here. What is it? Tishthan Braje Tadanuragi Jananugami. That one should reside in Braja. Tishthan Braje Tadanuragi Jananugami. And one should follow in the footsteps of those who have real attachment to the Lord. Tad anuragi. Anuragi means those who are naturally attracted to the Lord. Anuragi jana anugami. Anugami means gachati in Sanskrit means to go. Right? And anu means behind or after. Anugami. To go after. This is why we're called rupanugas is another name for devotees in Lord Chaitanya's life. Right? Rupanugas. We're followers of Rupa Goswami. We go behind Anuga, Rupa Anuga. We go behind Rupa Goswami. Or Prabhupada Anuga. We're following Srila Prabhupada. Anugam. So that is the method for developing raga, for developing attachment. Is when we engage in this process of hearing and chanting 24 hours a day, then we can follow in the footsteps of those who have real attachment for the Lord. And in that way, discover our own place in Krishna's pastimes. Our own space. Our own position there. Now, before we get to that point, how do we get to that point where we can actually emulate, follow in the footsteps of those who are the great devotees of the Lord? There are five things in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami, Nectar of Devotion, describes five things which are most potent items in devotional service. So many things we can do in devotional service, but five things are most potent, most powerful. They bear, it said they're so powerful that even if one performs one of these items with a little bit of sincerity, it can deliver all perfection. They're so powerful. What are these five things? Can anyone say one? Chanting. Chanting the holy names of the Lord. The first thing, we've just covered it here, the holy name. Yeah, Ian? That comes in the same. The holy name is one of the items, right? Hearing and chanting is both the same. Yes, yes. Associating with the devotees of the Lord. So the holy name, hearing and chanting, associating with the devotees of the Lord. Someone else? Huh? Srimad Bhagavatam. Right. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, that's what kind of what Ian said. He said hearing, isn't it? Yeah. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Right. What else? The holy name, the holy abode of the Lord, the Dhamma, the holy Dham. Residing, this is what's being described here, Tishtan Vraje, residing in the places where Krishna has performed his pastimes. Namely, especially Vrindavan or Braj. That is very, very powerful for the performance of bhakti. And one more. Serving the deity. Deity worship. Deity, devotee, naam, dham, bhagavatam. Right? Five things. Easy to remember. Deity, devotee, naam, dham means the abode, Krishna's pastimes, and Bhagavatam. These five things are so powerful that if we engage in even one of these a little bit, it can make us progress so quickly in the process of bhakti. And you find, of the five, the three are being mentioned here specifically. Nectar of devotion. Rupa Goswami lists all the different items of devotional service, how we can practice bhakti. And of those, he says, these five he singles out as the most potent or the most powerful. And actually we find that in this spiritual practice, this sadhana that Srila Prabhupada has given us, all these five items are present. They're all there. We can just look at the morning program. Right? Just in the morning program, all five items are being used. And the deity, of course, we're chanting before the deity, the arati is going on. Devotee, the idea is we do congregational chanting, sankirtan, in the association of devotees. Naam, we're chanting the holy names, both congregationally and japa for 1.5 hours in the morning. Dham, we do that in a holy place. And Prabhupada explains that if we don't have the possibility or ability to actually go to Vrindavan to live there, then any place where the deity is residing, that place becomes as good as Vrindavan. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it says that wherever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would travel, that place would become as good as Sri Vrindavan Dham. Because what makes something a holy place? What makes something a tirtha? The Bhagavatam says, tirthi kurvanti tirthani. That a holy place is made, how? Not by the fact that there's some river flowing there, or there's some sacred mountain, or those things are there. But what makes the river sacred? What makes the mountain sacred? It's connection with the Lord, exactly. But where does the Lord reside? In the heart of the devotees. Right? He doesn't reside in any material place. Krishna doesn't reside like that. Where he resides is in the heart of the devotee. That song is there by Narottam Das Thakur, right? Tumare hridoye sada govinda vishram, govinda kohina mora vaishnava pran. That Lord Krishna, he's always residing in the heart of his devotees. And the devotees are always residing in Krishna's heart. So wherever a devotee is traveling, or the devotees are gathering in glorification of the Lord. What is that verse also? Naham tishthami vaikunte. How does it go? Naham tishthami vaikunte. Yoginam hidayeshuva. He says, Lord Krishna says, I forget which Purana it's in now. He says, I don't reside in Vaikuntha, naham tishthami Vaikuntha, yoginam hudayeshuva, or in the hearts of yogis, where people normally think I reside. The only reason I might reside in these places is because my devotees are glorifying me. I only reside in those places where my devotees gather to glorify me. So that place becomes Vrindavan, it becomes Braj. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada says that the temple of the Lord, where the devotees are gathering, is equal to Sri Vrindavan Dham. It's like Braj. And they're like embassies of the spiritual world. Just like an embassy is a part of the country it's the embassy of. It's the laws of the host country don't actually apply there. It's special laws. Just like if you go to Peru, and the U.S. embassy there is huge. It's like a fort. It's like a whole like fort. I mean, it's a massive, massive structure with walls. I don't know how high. It looks like a real fort, like a traditional in the traditional sense. The United States gives a lot of aid and like that. And in return, they have a huge establishment there in Peru. And practically, that place is like the United States, right? If you go into that huge establishment, it's like the United States. There's no the laws of Peru don't apply there. In any country, it's like that. That's why if you're a criminal, you're a citizen of that country, you can run to the embassy and you'll be safe, right? Because that country has no jurisdiction there. So in the same way, this is like an embassy of Braj. Braj Vrindavan is there, but this is an embassy of Braj. So as long as we're here in the temple, then we're protected from Maya. So it's all there in the morning program, right? The chanting, the holy name, residing in Vrindavan, in the temple, worshipping the deity, associating with devotees, and the fifth one was Bhagavatam, right? Bhagavatam class in the morning. So all five things, Srila Prabhupada has made such a nice system that all five of the most potent aspects of devotional service are all present in our day-to-day practice. So that if we simply keep up this day-to-day practice very devoutly, then we're guaranteed perfection in spiritual life. There's no doubt. 100% guaranteed. Now, the key though, the kind of the thing that makes it so a little bit difficult, why we don't see this raga this attachment emerging so quickly, is because what Krishna wants from us is complete absorption. What's it says? Kalam nayed akhilam ityupadesha saram. Kalam nayed akhilam. In other words, one has to, Prabhupada saying, engage in chanting and remembering 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. That's the challenge. Because Krishna consciousness, in order, if we want to develop that kind of attachment, Krishna consciousness is not a part-time engagement. It's not something we can do on the weekends or in the evenings. Right? It's something that needs to be done 24 hours a day. The residents of Vrindavan, in other words, they never take a break from Krishna. That now we've had enough of Krishna, now let's go do something else. Life is 100% centered on Krishna in Vrindavan. 100%. So that's the challenge, to somehow do this 24 hours a day. These three things, Tishtan Braje, Kirtana, Sukirtananu, and Smriti, remembrance. How to do this constantly, 24 hours a day. Now, how can this be done? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he tells us the conditions which are necessary for us to be able to chant and remember Krishna's holy name 24 hours a day, constantly. Can anyone say what those conditions are? Under what conditions? Right. Trinadapi suni chena tarorapi sahishnuna Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That when we are more humble than a blade of grass, trinad api sunichena, taror api sahishnuna, and more tolerant than a tree. A blade of grass, it gets trampled upon by others on the street, trinad api sunichena, but it never protests. Taror api sahishnuna, and a tree will dry up for lack of water, but it'll never ask anyone for water, nor will it complain that why isn't anyone giving me water. It'll stand in the rain, in the wind, in the cold, in the snow, all the leaves will fall off, but still it'll be tolerant, always giving shade and shelter and protection to others. And even unto the last moment, it's always giving something, always giving. That's the role of a tree. So tolerance like a tree, humility like a blade of grass. Amanina manadena. Ready to offer all respects to others, manadena, amanina, but not accepting any respect for yourself, not expecting any respect in return, or wanting any respects. Amanina manadena. Such a person, kirtaniya sadahari, such a person can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly, 24 hours a day. Otherwise we won't be able to do it. Even if we want to, we won't be able to do it. Because it's these very things which cause disturbance in our chanting. It's the desire for honor and respect. It's the pride in our heart. It's the disturbance that's caused when someone causes something that gets us irritated, right? Intolerance. These are the things which disturb the mind. Like Prabhupada in the beginning of the purport, he's saying, the mind is the repository of hundreds and thousands of impressions. So all these, what are the things that disturb the mind? It's all these things. And unless we have that mood of humility and tolerance, then the mind will not remain peaceful enough where we cannot chant the holy name constantly. Right? It'll always be disturbed. So those are the qualifications. It's said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's distributing the nectar of love of God freely. But nectar or amrita, this is upadesha amrita, right? The nectar of instruction. If we want to accept that nectar is a liquid. To take nectar, you need a container. You need a bowl or something to hold it in. If you have something solid, you can just pick it up and eat it. Right? But if you have something liquid, then you need a receptacle to take it in. So our receptacle is the heart. Our heart is that receptacle where we can receive the nectar of the holy name. But the problem is that if your receptacle has holes in it, then even if you take it within that, then it'll flow out, it'll fall away. By the time you put it to your mouth, it'll be gone. You might get a little bit at the bottom. So that's kind of our situation, that we take a few sips, but that's all we get because the rest flows out because the heart has so many holes in it. It's like we're trying to drink from a strainer. Right? We try to drink from a strainer. It's kind of difficult. So it's we have to plug all those holes. And the holes are desire for pratishtha, for respect, the desire for honor, the adoration, respect, and these things. And this is the holes, they call, in the heart. And so our heart cannot... Even the Lord Chaitanya is giving the holy name, love of God, freely, without any distinction. But we are not able to accept it. We're not able to hold it. And therefore, we don't get any of that raga, that attachment, that the residents of Vrindavan have. We don't feel that natural pull. Because see, the thing is, in order to develop love of God, and in order to remember Krishna 24 hours a day, we have to love Him. You cannot force anyone to remember something 24 hours a day. Right? If you try that. Force yourself to remember anything 24 hours a day. You can't do it. It's just impossible. The mind will always go out somewhere. It'll disappear, dissipate. Anything it might be, your favorite item, meditate on gulab jamuns 24 hours a day. It won't be possible. It's just not possible. The only time it can happen, huh? Mother Nisha's got it down. Meditating. So the only time it can happen actually is when you love someone. That's the only time you can think of them 24 hours a day. It only happens when there's love involved. Otherwise it's not possible. So that's what the residents of Vrindavan, they have. Right? We were talking about this a few Sundays ago. They have this love for Krishna. This pure love, which causes them to be completely absorbed in Krishna. They cannot stop thinking of Krishna even if they want to. Even if they try, the residents of Vrindavan cannot stop thinking of Krishna. They're so fully absorbed in Krishna. Their love is so complete, so unconditional. We, even when we try, we cannot think of Krishna. And the residents of Vrindavan, even when they try, they cannot stop thinking of Krishna. So the process is that ultimately, as we follow in the process of bhakti, this is the stages, we're getting higher and higher in the process of bhakti, the stages being described. Adav shraddha, tata sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti, nishtha, ruchi. And then when you come to the point of asakti, or attachment to the Lord, you can actually begin raganuga bhakti sadhana, which means loving the Lord in a spontaneous way, not due to rules and regulations, but due to love, raganuga bhakti sadhana. And that happens when we follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. There's no other way to get to enter into Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's lila, besides to follow in the footsteps of those who are already participating in that lila. Each one of us, we have a unique spot in Krishna's pastimes. It's a spot that cannot be filled by anyone else. Right? Krishna has, we were talking about this yesterday, right? He has 400,000 cows. And he knows each cow by name. Every single cow he knows. And how many cowherd boys, I forget. Anyone remember the number? He has a lot of cowherd boys, maybe millions. Or maybe less. But a lot of cowherd boys. 400,000 cows, you need a lot of cowherd boys. Take care of 400,000 cows. So many associates he has. And Krishna knows each and every single one of them by name, and he interacts with them personally. He knows what they like, what they don't like, what their personality is like. He knows what mood they're in. Everything he knows about every single one of the people in his pastimes. And all 400,000 of those cows are unique. No one can replace them. No cow is replaceable by another cow. So if we're meant to be a cow in Krishna's pastime, we could be anything. Right? If we're meant to be a cow in Krishna's pastime, our spot is unique. In Krishna's herd, there's one spot missing, which is for us. No one else can take it. This is why Krishna wants us back in the spiritual world so much. Because no one can replace us. We're irreplaceable. Krishna notices, every day he notices, oh, this spot is missing. Because this devotee is not there. So let me get someone back. This is why he's so eager to get his baptism. Because he wants to complete his pastimes. He's got a spot there for each one of us. But if we want to take that spot up, just like it's like a job. It's a job description that only matches us. It's like if someone advertises for a job, and the only one who can fulfill the requirements for that job is us. Only one person can fulfill it. Krishna's advertising for the job. And it's only us who can fulfill it. Each one has a separate job description. But if we want to take that job up, what's the first thing that happens when you take a job? Before you can start doing your thing. Orientation. Orientation and a training period. Training period. You always begin as the junior guy. And you have to work your way up. In other words, you have to take training from the people there. Those who are already expert at the job. If you're, you know, you learn, okay, this is how you do it, this is how you do it. You find out that, you know, from your colleagues, you find out that the boss is like this, don't do this, it irritates him quite a bit, you know. But this is how you can please your boss. You find things out, you find the lore of the workplace and how things work and what the good things and bad things, what you should avoid. The coffee pot is here, and, you know, don't make too much coffee, otherwise the boss gets upset. But you can take, you know, and so many things are there, you learn about the place. So it's a process of orientation, process of learning, basically, of training. So that process is required before we can enter Krishna's pastimes. We want to take the spot. Suppose we are meant to be a cow in Krishna's pastimes. Then we have to first follow in the footsteps of the other cows and find out how they serve Krishna. This is the time Krishna comes to give us milk. Take our milk. This is the time he takes us to. This is when Krishna calls on his flute. This is how you have to come. So don't get spaced out at that time. So you have to learn all the ways. Don't wander away too far from the herd. Otherwise, Dhenukasura might get you. So you have to follow in the footsteps. Every role has certain individuals. And this happens continuously in the spiritual world. Right? This is the method of bhakti. One time, Lokanath Maharaj, he was saying in a lecture, he was telling a couple of his disciples, he was saying that no one in Krishna consciousness, no one in the spiritual world is independent. There's no such thing as independence in Krishna consciousness. He said everyone is working under someone or working with someone. Everyone is following in the footsteps. Jana Anugami. It's not that after the training period is over, then it's finished. Now it's it. No, what that means is you can train others. Right? It's like the Bhakti Viksha motto, right? Each one teach one. Everyone's learning from someone and everyone's teaching someone else. You get trained up, you're constantly getting trained up. And you're training someone else. Yes, Navani? Yeah, it's our desire, but it's a little bit different than that. Because, see, in the material world, when we think of something at the time of death, we get that particular body, right? In the spiritual world, or in spiritual things, we don't have to get anything. We are that by our very nature. This is called swarupa, right? Mukti is swarupena avasthiti. We simply remember who we actually are, right? It's not that now I have to become a cow in Krishna's lila. All that'll happen is I'll discover that I am a cow, right? Or I will discover that I am a coward boy. Whatever I am, I am. There's no question of becoming anything. You see what I mean? Because the process of becoming only happens in the material world. This is the world of becoming. The spiritual world is this world of being. Everything is the way it is. In other words, we are Krishna's servant. We have a place in Krishna's pastimes. And there's no question of not being satisfied because that's who we are. As someone could say, like if I were to ask, you know, are you satisfied being Navneet? Would you like to be someone, you know, are you satisfied being Navneet? And the question is, well, there's no question of being satisfied being Navneet. I am Navneet, right? Maybe, okay, I'm not satisfied with this job, or I'm not satisfied living in Boise, or I'm not satisfied with this or that. The situation might be, but who you are, right? There's no question of. So in the spiritual world, it's like that. It's not that we think of something and then we become that, but rather the whole process of Krishna consciousness is to discover who we really are. We actually are. In other words, we are that, we're just covered over. Once we peel the layers off, we discover, oh, beyond all this layer, you know, you take away the layer of this gross physical body, the earth, water, fire, ether, then you peel away the layer of mind, intelligence, false ego, our polluted consciousness, everything is peeled away, and underneath you discover, oh, I'm a cow. Right? I'm a cow in Krishna's lila. That's the process of spiritual life. We just discover who we are. Not that we become anything. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So it's not just at the time of death, but through the whole process. We gradually... In the beginning, we're working with the spiritual master. We're working under the direction of the spiritual master. He's guiding us. Serve Krishna like this, serve Krishna like this, serve Krishna like this, serve Krishna like this. That same role continues. It never ends. Once we begin... At the point we come from Vaidhi Sadhana, we come to Raganuga Bhakti Sadhana, then at that point, the spiritual master is instructing us, we'll boil milk for Krishna like this, put this much sugar in it, then take it to this Manjari, this Gopi, and she'll take it to Srimati Radha. You know, he's instructing us, do it like this, do it like this. It's like Hanuman Swami says, right? There's not just first initiation or second initiation. But there's 10th initiation, 15th initiation, 105th initiation. Right? Because we're constantly becoming initiated into higher and higher forms of serving Krishna. There's some gopis who have tasted food, he was saying the other day, right? Some gopis who have tasted food directly from the mouth of Krishna, and some who haven't. So when they do, that's another initiation. Right? They get another experience in devotional life. Oh, I got to taste food from Krishna's mouth. So the process continues. Anugami, jana anugami. And unless we're willing to serve in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, we cannot enter into Braj. And this very nicely kind of finishes off our story from yesterday. Remember we told the story of Lord Shiva. How when he wanted to enter, everyone's attracted by Krishna's rasa dance. It's so beautiful. So when Lord Shiva wanted to enter the rasa dance, he went to Vrinda Devi, the controller of Vrindavan. And she said, you can't come like this, you know, you're covered in ashes, you're covered with snakes. And besides, you're a man, and Krishna is the only man in the rasa lila. So he said, tell me, what should I do? How should I adjust? And she said, take a dip in this pond, in Kusum Sarovaram, and everything will be okay. So he takes the dip, and he comes out as... a gopi. He comes out looking like a gopi. And he accepts the mood of the gopis. He follows in the footsteps of the gopis. Even Lord Shiva is doing that. Right? Therefore, he's known as Gopeshwar in Vrindavan. And once a year, this form of Lord Shiva in Vrindavan, the Shivalinga, they dress him as a gopi. They put a sari and head covering on him, wrap him up like a gopi. So he follows. He's ready to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Therefore, he can enter. On the other hand, Lakshmi Devi, we were hearing yesterday, right? Lakshmi Devi, she did austerities for so many years. It's described in Bhagavatam. Right? The Nagakanyas, they're praying. It's that, my Lord, this blessing you've given Kaliya by putting your lotus feet on his head, not even Lakshmi Devi could get that. Even after performing austerities for thousands of years. And Lord Chaitanya, he's teasing Venkata Bhatta, he's saying, why? Why couldn't Lakshmi enter the rasa dance? even though she tried. If you go to Vrindavan, one of the 12 forests is Shrivan or Belvan. And there you find Lakshmi Devi. Instead of, she's the only place practically where she's not with Narayan. She's there on her own and she's performing austerities. Why? Because she wants to enter Krishna's pastimes, Krishna Lila. But in the end, she's not able to. Why is she not able to? Even after her desire. Yeah. She wasn't willing to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. In Braj, the mood is that everything is very simple. Everything is very humble. The gopis don't have too much opulence. They decorate Krishna with flowers. They don't have gold and jewelry and so many things. Krishna is very simple. He's a cowherd boy there. And their love for Krishna is also very simple. They're not so sophisticated like Vaikuntha. So for Lakshmi to enter, she would have to give up all the opulence and all the grandeur and pride associated with that opulence. She's Shri, she's Lakshmi, she's the goddess of fortune. And to enter Braj and Krishna's leelas, she has to become like the gopis, follow in the footsteps. Tadanuragi jananugami. This rule applies to everyone, everyone. It's not just us. Anyone who wants to enter Braj has to accept the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. So you have to find someone to emulate. And she, of course, wanted to enter the Rasa dance, so she has to emulate the gopis. But she wasn't willing to give up her opulence, to give up her majesty, her kingship, her rule. She's always in command. The whole world she's got under her grip. Everyone's running after Lakshmi. So therefore, she could not enter the Rasa dance. So we have two nice examples, Lord Shiva and Lakshmi Devi. One could enter and the other could not enter. Both very great personalities. Because one was ready to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan and the other one wasn't. So Prabhupada at the end of the purport he says there's five different rasas, five different says one can practice spontaneous devotional service in Shantarasa when one aspires to be like Krishna's cows, or the stick or flute in the hand of Krishna, or the flowers around his neck. Can you imagine? It can also be performed five rasas, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhuri. The Shanta, the peaceful mellow, mellow of servitude. You can be Krishna's friend, parent, or lover. But even in the peaceful rasa, there's many living entities in Vrindavan who are serving Krishna in that way. They're like the flowers around Krishna's neck. Shantarasa means that you don't do anything active for Krishna. Rather, when Krishna wants you, he takes you. So the flowers don't come dancing to Krishna. When Krishna wants, or the gopis put a flower garland around his neck, then he has the flowers. Right? So that's a particular type of rasa. Even to enter that rasa, to be a flower around Krishna's neck, we have to follow in the footsteps of the other flowers in Krishna's name. In other words, in the spiritual world, everything is alive. Right? Everything is chintamani. Nothing is dead. Chintamani prakara satma shukalpa vriksha. Everything is alive. So even the flowers, Krishna's stick, Krishna's flute, the land, all of that is alive. Nothing is dead. Everything is a living entity. And we can take any one of those roles. It's equally satisfying. Whatever rasa is in, that we are in, that rasa will be the most satisfying to us. We don't have to aspire for anything. We simply have to recover what's already there. So this is the process of bhakti. Gradually it happens. He says, kramena. We shouldn't try to achieve this goal. And this is the important point. That we shouldn't try to imitate the residents of Vrindavan. That doesn't work. We shouldn't try to artificially become, you know, like sometimes you'll go to some guru and they'll say, oh, you're just like Nanda Baba, and you're just like Yashoda Ma. You can think of Krishna like that. So no, you know, that takes time. First, we have to become fixed in our devotional service. First, we have to come to the point of nishtha, right? Anartha Nivritti and nishtha. We have to become fixed. If we cannot become even fixed, If someone has all kinds of bad habits and they cannot maintain their vows towards the Lord and they cannot even chant His holy name, and they're already thinking themselves, I'm like, you know, Radha, or I'm like Nanda, or I'm like Yashoda, then what's the meaning of that? It means nothing. If we don't have enough determination to actually even do our sadhana properly, then we know we're not ready yet to do this kind of Raghavanga Bhakti. So we shouldn't try to jump to it prematurely. That none. But the point is, by this process, kramena, gradually, we'll come to that point. Simply by serving the spiritual master properly. The spiritual master will take us from the very beginning. Just like one day we may discover that my swarupa, my natural position, is I'm supposed to boil milk for Srimati Radharani to offer to Krishna. We could discover that one day. That I'm officially the milk boiler. Now, we think, okay, I have to get trained for this. But we should remember that even now, the spiritual master is training us for that possibility. When we're offering, the process of deity worship, of worshipping the deity, is that process of following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Except it's done in Vaidhi Sadhana. It's done under regulation. Right? That's the only difference. Worshipping the deity is the process of assisting. The same activities are there. Right? In Vrindavan, one might be boiling milk for Krishna, but the spiritual master is showing us how to boil milk now for Krishna, and we offer it to the Lord. Right? In Vrindavan, our job, it might be to help decorate Srimati Radharani in the morning. Right? Put her bangles on her, or earrings on her. But we're doing that now in deity worship. It might be supposed that I'm supposed to be the person who sings Krishna to sleep at night. But we're doing that now for Krishna. Maybe I'm supposed to wake him up in the morning. We're doing that now. You see, everything in deity worship, we're doing exactly. Everything that happens in Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan are doing, we're doing that now in the process of bhakti. But the only difference is, the point is, if we just continue doing this, under the regulation of the spiritual masters, then ultimately we'll see how that ties into Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. That's the only thing. We do it now under his direction, under his guidance, according to the regulation, niyama, that, okay, we should wake up the Lord at this time, we should offer him food at this time, we should offer him like this, we should offer him like that. And then later on, we'll discover, oh, actually, that's what I was supposed to do anyway. I was the milk boiler, or I was the one supposed to wake Krishna up. You see, again, that's the point. Nothing ever changes in bhakti. We are doing, following the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. But right now, we have to do it under guidance. We have to do it according to rules and regulations. Later on, we can do it spontaneously, by our own desire. This is what we want. That's called Raghavanga. So any questions or comments? Yes? Right. Exactly, this is the point. The activities continue the same. We'll still wake up 4 in the morning when we're doing Raga Nuga Bhakti Sadhana. But now, instead of waking up because the alarm goes off, we're waking up because we have to wake up Krishna. Right? That's the difference. Right, exactly. So, the only difference is that one we're doing because of vidhi, because we're supposed to, and the other we're doing because of raga, because we want to. Right? That's the only difference. But this is a good point. Right? The devotee who's on that platform will not unnecessarily give up the practice of the regulated practice of bhakti. This is one of the signs of someone who's at that platform. Sometimes people say, oh, I'm very advanced, so I don't got to do this. Right? So he's becoming loose with all the regulations. But actually, the one who is on that platform is going to try to maintain those regulations. Right? They have no reason not to. It's just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. He says, once you achieve, one who is fully satisfied in the self, he has no duty to perform, Krishna says. and he has no reason not to perform his duty. Right? He says immediately both things. First thing he says, he has no duty to perform. He says, karyam na vidyate. He has no karya, no duty. So you think, yay, wow, once I get to that point, nothing to do. But then Krishna says, if actually you're satisfied in the self, then why would you not do your duty? What problem do you have in doing your duty? Right? He says, one who's at that platform, he doesn't need to do any duty. But then he has no reason not to do his duty either, because he's satisfied. Right? Only someone who's not satisfied will say, I don't want to do it, because he's dissatisfied. Someone who's satisfied will say, I want to do it, even though he doesn't have to. Right? So it's kind of, either way, you're still doing your duty. This is the point. Either way, we're still going to be chanting 16 rounds getting up in the morning. But 16 rounds will be like nothing, practically, when you come to that platform. You'll be like, oh, okay. Oh, really? Did I finish 16 already? That's amazing. You know? And now it's like, okay, five more. Right. Exactly. Anything else? Yeah.
So how should we chant? There are some people say you should listen to something like that. You have to think like you are like less than a little person. It's not very, it's so easy just to
Right. What should we think of when we're chanting? People say different things. You should think of like your blade of grass, or some people say. The nicest thing is to meditate on the holy names themselves, on the sound of Krishna's holy names. Because the thing is that there's no difference between Krishna and his holy name, right? Abhinnatva nama naminah. Krishna is his holy names. So, different things work for different people. This is the thing. Different things will work for different people. But one thing that's kind of fundamental to everyone who's chanting is that we have to focus on the holy name itself. It's from the holy name. See, this is the point we find in this verse. Tannama rupa charitadi. From the holy name itself will come Krishna's form and Krishna's pastimes. So there's actually no need to try to force oneself to think of all kinds of things. Because actually, if we're not trained to do that, we can become... If we just focus on the holy name itself, naturally that'll lead to thinking of Krishna's form. And that'll lead to thinking of Krishna's pastime. It's a natural process. So in the beginning, if we can't figure out what to think of, it means we should just focus on Krishna's holy name. Just hear the sounds. This is why loudly chanting is so nice. So we can hear. Because then the sound will... We can focus on the sound itself. And then we'll find that we're naturally thinking of the Lord's form also. These three things, this is the candidate. Nama, Rupa, Charita. We can focus on the holy names. We can focus on Krishna's forms. That's why morning we chant before the deity. Right? We can look at Krishna's forms and appreciate. Or we can think of Krishna's pastimes. And therefore, sometimes devotees like to read. And then from their reading, they get inspiration to chant. And they can think of Krishna's pastimes and so forth. But if nothing works, then the holy name is sufficient. We can just focus. Huh? Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, just even that is very lucky. Anything else? Okay, sorry, it's 8:15, we'll end on time. Thank you very much for your attention.